The United States is the world's second worst hit by monkeypox after Spain, but the White House is confident it can contain and eliminate the virus. White House COVID-19 Response Coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha says the plan to eliminate monkeypox is very straightforward because America has the vaccines and tests. He insists the Biden administration has acted swiftly, pushing back against accusations of being caught flat-footed. The White House has indeed ramped up efforts, ordering 800,000 vaccine doses from Denmark recently. Monkeypox causes flu-like symptoms and skin lesions and is endemic in the West and Central African countries. Outside these regions, the disease has been spreading largely among men who have sex with men. Dr. Jha acknowledged the spread of the virus in the gay male community, but stressed there are other people who are at risk as well, particularly those who are in close personal contact with people who are infected.
Thailand has upgraded its monkeypox alert to the national level after an emergency meeting of its medical agencies. The move comes less than 24 hours after the World Health Organization sounded the highest alarm, declaring the disease a global health emergency. Keith Liu reports.
The kingdom's public health minister, Anutin Chanvirakul, has urged agencies to prepare for a monkeypox outbreak in the country. So far, only one local case has been detected. Disease control officials are working with border checkpoints to screen travelers, especially those from high-risk countries. But Mr. Anutin says there is no need to panic, as Thailand has enough medicine facilities to treat patients if the virus spreads. Health experts will meet today to discuss preventive measures against monkeypox and guidelines for hospitals. Meanwhile, Thailand's first monkeypox case who fled the country is expected to stay in Cambodia's capital, Phnom Penh, when he was caught. Thailand officials say there are no plans to repatriate the 27-year-old Nigerian man based on international principles of disease control. The patient was first hospitalized in Phuket this week, then went off the grid by turning off his mobile phone after receiving a positive diagnosis. Both Thai and Cambodian authorities have urged those who had direct contact with him to self-isolate and report any symptoms immediately. In Phuket, around 20 people have been tested after coming close to the infected man. So far, none of them have tested positive.
Meantime, New Delhi reported its first case of monkeypox, raising the number of infections in India to 4. The man tested positive but has no history of foreign travel. Local media say he's in his 30s and attended a stag party recently. Delhi's Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal is urging the public not to panic, saying the situation is under control. He says the patient has been isolated at a local hospital and authorities are working to prevent further spread. India's other 3 cases were reported within the last week or so. They were all in the southern state of Kerala and linked to travel from Middle Eastern countries.
Police in Sri Lanka say the president's office is opening again today after Friday's violent crackdown outside the building. But anti-government protesters have vowed to continue taking to the streets as they call for the resignation of the newly elected president, Ranil Wickremesinghe. Well, in a statement yesterday, he said non-violent protests will be allowed, including in the capital. Rebecca Bundon explains why some people are still unhappy with their new president.
We have to remember that Ranil Wickremesinghe, who was the Prime Minister of Sri Lanka, wasn't voted into power as president by the people after the previous president, Gotabaya Rajapaksa, fled the country this month amid mass protests and resigned, with people blaming him for the severe economic mess the country is in, with fuel and food shortages and massive foreign debt. For a new president, this was a vote that took place in Parliament, and Mr. Wickremesinghe was sworn in on Thursday. Many people consider him to be a Rajapaksa ally, and he's appointed other allies to his cabinet. Some people say they want to give the new administration a chance, though, to address the economic challenges, which requires political stability as Sri Lanka seeks a bailout from the IMF. What's led to further upset among the protesters, though, is that some of them were forcibly removed from their camp near the presidential office in the early hours of Friday morning by armed troops and police. Some protesters were arrested and some say that they were injured. I met some of the demonstrators who were removed from the camp and they're now at the protest ground nearby at the Galphae seafront. They say that they were treated badly and this has made them all the more determined to continue to protest because they don't think Mr. Wickremesinghe is the right person to be president. They also wanted to make it very clear that they plan to demonstrate peacefully, but there's a very significant armed military and police presence around official buildings in Colombo.
America's top military officer is warning that China has become significantly more aggressive and dangerous over the past 5 years. Jagruti Dave with more.
He said over this period, China's aircrafts and naval vessels have made a significantly higher number of dangerous intercepts against US military planes and ships, as well as those of US allies in the Pacific. He said the number of unsafe interactions had also increased in equal proportion, though he didn't give specific numbers. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was speaking to the Associated Press and Financial Times en route to Indonesia. He later heads to Sydney, Australia, where he's meeting his Indo-Pacific counterparts. General Milley's visit to the region is part of the White House's efforts to boost security ties and counter China's influence there. The US views China as the biggest threat to its economic and national security. China, in turn, has accused the US of trying to create an Asian NATO. US President Joe Biden is expected to hold a phone call with China's leader Xi Jinping in the next few days, with the already tight tensions between the two sides strained further by reports of a possible visit to Taiwan by US House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Indonesian President Joko Widodo begins his two-day visit to China today, where he and Chinese President Xi Jinping are expected to hold in-depth meetings on bilateral relations and on major regional and international issues. Mr. Widodo's visit is the first by a foreign head of state to China since the Beijing Winter Olympics in February this year. And after this meeting, he will head to South Korea for summit talks with President Yoon Suk-yeol. After that, he'll be in Japan to meet with Prime Minister Fumio Kishida.
The Philippines' newly elected President Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos Jr. delivers his State of the Nation address today. This will be the first face-to-face address delivered at the House of Representatives since pre-COVID-19 in 2019. The new president is taking a more hands-on approach by drafting his own speech. Officials say Mr. Marcos's address will focus on the administration's economic agenda, as well as the nation's COVID-19 response efforts. Manila's services and remittance-led economic model has taken a beating because of the pandemic. National debt is now over $230 billion. Before the pandemic started, the Philippines boasted one of the fastest-growing economies globally. Mr. Marcos Jr. will also discuss his intent to pursue a digitalization of the government. Food security will be on the agenda as well, as the new leader aims to achieve food sovereignty.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says Russia isn't responsible for the global crisis and is committed to the resumption of its grain exports. He spoke to the Arab League at a press conference alongside his Egyptian counterpart in Cairo. His remarks came hot on the heels of a strike in the southern Ukrainian port of Odessa, which threatened to derail the delicate deal that Russia signed in Turkey with Ukraine and the UN last week. Sergio Olmos has a recap of this.
24 hours after the deal was signed with Turkey and the UN, Russia launched 4 caliber cruise missiles at Odessa. One hit the port. Ukraine officials say they shot down 2 cruise missiles, 2 did land. We hear that Russia has said it hit a military target. So they initially denied hitting it. Now they claim responsibility, but say it was a military target. The UN has condemned the strike on Odessa, has stopped short of calling it a Russian missile strike. That has been met with Ukrainian criticism. President Volodymyr Zelensky says that the attack on Odessa undermines not just the deal, but any future deals with Russia. If they can't keep their word on this, you know, why would they be trusted to keep their word in any kind of peace deal? We have seen similar behavior before when the UN Antonio Guterres visited here to broker a deal for a humanitarian corridor. Russia launched cruise missiles into Kyiv while Antonio Guterres was visiting. We're hearing that Ukraine intends to go through with this deal and that there has been convoys lining up in Odessa to prepare shipments of grain through the Black Sea, and it expects Russia to fulfill its end of the bargain. We know that this deal is incredibly complicated for international shipping companies, you know, the crews of these ships. They are not combat Navy men, you know, preparing to go to battle. So this is an incredibly complicated operation. It's undergirded by Russia's guarantee not to fire on ships. And what we saw really does not give many people in the international community faith that any ship going into the port will be safe.
And that's the news with Arnold Gay and Yasmin Yonkers. Headlines anytime at cna.asia.